Father, we just pray, Lord, that you speak into each and every heart this day. Father, because you are an awesome God that loves us, Lord. And Lord, you want us to understand, Lord, how you want us to be, how you want us to live, Lord, and how you empower us to do that. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us. Lord, just open our hearts this day, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Excuse me. Amen. Amen. I just want to share a passage with us this morning that many of us are familiar with, that you probably hear at a wedding. Probably a lot of weddings, this passage. We'll have a look at that in just a moment. Just want to talk about the always factor this morning. I want to talk about how there is a consistency in the love of God, and how the Lord wants us and asks us and requires of us, but also empowers us that we can always, always be loving in every situation. I'm always inspired by Jesus, obviously. We're all inspired by Jesus. He's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our example, our model. But there's an interesting time in Jesus' life where, and can you read this in the book of John, and we're not going to go through it in a bit, John chapter 6 here, that we have the story where Jesus has gone and fed the 5,000, incredible miracle that he's done. And all these crowds of people, they saw this miracle, they benefited from the miracle, they blessed from this miracle, this amazing thing. And then the next part of that passage is where Jesus walks on water, and we actually talked about Jesus walking on water a couple of weeks ago, and we spoke about that, how what an awesome time and what that meant for us as well. And then you have this time when Jesus begins to talk about that he is the bread of life. And that he is the substance of life. He is the stuff of life. He talks about people eating him and getting a hold of him, getting him inside their inner being, to taking Christ inside them, about being the bread of life. But it's really interesting, because all these ones, and he had this big crowd of people that had followed him even after the great miracle of the feeding of 5,000, and that many of them started to grumble when he was talking. And in the end, that a whole lot of them, all of them basically just up and left Jesus. And so Jesus is standing here, all these people that were with him all abandoned him, they turned around, they rejected him, and he turns to his remaining 12 disciples and he says to them, he says, well, what about you? Are you going to leave me too? And then they go, well, where will we go? You have the answer to life. And then he goes, yeah, but even one of you is a Judas. But even after that time, then if you read on his ministry from then on, that Jesus was still always loving. He was always consistent, even though he knew that what Judas was going to do, that Judas was going to betray him. Even despite all of that, he was always consistent. He was always loving. And I want to talk about that, because it's not always easy, is it? To always. When we talk about always, when you say something is always, it means a couple of things. It means every time, on every occasion, that you'll always do something. But it also means in all ways, in every variety, in every manner of doing, of every possible way of doing something. And so I want to talk about this, about always loving today, always. Every time, all the time, every time, and in every possible way, to be all loving. And that's certainly what the Lord asks of us and requires of us, and also empowers us and enables us to do. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as I said, this is a very popular scripture. You go to the wedding, 90% of weddings would have this scripture as a guidance to a couple. But this is not just for a couple getting married. This is something that's for every one of us that God wants us to walk in. So we'll start in verse 1. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You're just a lot of hot air, a lot of noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always, and I want to get onto these always words, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And this is a very powerful scripture, as I said. This is not just a wedding, something that people put on their order of services because it looks nice, about talking about love, and people's understanding and concept of love is often very wishy-washy. It's an emotionally driven thing. Love is a very powerful emotional thing, but it's an emotion that flows out of decisions, not out of feelings. It's a very powerful thing, love. And this is what it's saying, to be always loving. Now, if any of us and all of us are honest, I don't think there's anyone here could honestly say that they are always loving. They could tick these off. Can you tick this off, that you're always patient, you're kind, you never envy, you never boast, you're never proud, you never say anything that dishonors anybody else, not self-seeking, don't get angry easily. You always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. And yet this scripture is written for us, and we know that God is love, but this is not a description of God. This is the description of love, and the context of this scripture is about, you can do a whole lot of bunch of other stuff, and you can say a whole lot of stuff, and you can do whatever else. You can make lots of sacrifices. You can do all of that. You can move in the things of God. You can do all of that stuff. You can have great knowledge. You can do all of that. You can say a whole lot of things, but if you don't have love, it actually means no benefit to you, and there's no real benefit to others. And so this is for us, this scripture. It's a challenge for us to be always. It's saying you need always to be loving. Now, when we look at that, the reality is that we're not always like that. And yet the scripture is challenging us. It's saying, if you don't have love, then you're nothing. And then it goes on and it talks about what love is. And the challenge, therefore, within the scripture is for us to be loving, and to be always loving, to be loving every time, in every way, to always be loving. And so how do we actually do that? How do we actually be that? Because life is not always fair, is it? Life is rarely fair. And things happen to us, and people let us down, all sorts of things happen to us. And yet somehow in the midst of all of that, that we are called to be loving in every situation, every time. And how do we do that? Well, I want to talk about that this morning, because that challenge is for you, and it affects every relationship that you have in your life, with your own family members, with your immediate family, with your parents, with your cousins, your relatives, your brothers and sisters, beyond any other relationship this applies. And so how do we actually do that? Because God doesn't do that. He does not set impossible standards that we can all dream and aspire to. He actually prescribes things that he wants us to grow into. Now, none of us can say that I've grown into that. None of us can say that we are like that. But that's what the challenge is, for us to grow into that. And anything less than that, you know, if we're not aspiring or growing in those things, then we're not really being pleasing to God. And so our heart is sort of not there yet. But Lord, I want to be like that, because Lord, that's what love is. If God's love, and if I want to be like God, then my jolly, I want to be, you know, I want to be loving, and I want to have this in my life. And God wants that for us. As I said, that's this context of the scripture about us being loving always. How do we do that? And that's what I want to talk about, because it's one thing to know, okay, we're supposed to be loving on every occasion, always, always, despite what people do to us, despite what people say to us, or what people don't do to us, or whatever the circumstance is. How do I actually always do that? Well, I think the fundamental thing is that we first of all have got to take our eyes off ourselves, and then we've got to take our eyes off other people. Because if you look at other people, you're going to see failure, you're going to see weakness, you're going to see disappointment when you look at other people's lives. You look at your own life, and you know yourself better than anyone else knows yourself. And you know your own weaknesses. You know your own failures. You know within yourself. And we're never going to be that loving kind of person that God wants us to be if our thoughts are upon ourselves, or we're looking to others and looking at others. We've always got to fundamentally keep our eyes on Jesus and do that. And that's the only way that you're ever actually going to learn and grow in how to do this. 1 John 4:16, and to me this is a critical scripture for us in doing this. And it says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." God is love. Now we know that. We intellectually all tick that off. Yep, God is love. But really, that's the heart, that's the nature of God. And if we're going to be Christ-like, then the nature and the heart of God is something that needs to be within us and expressed within our lives in a real way, in a tangible way, always flowing through out of our life. So we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And really, this is the key, is that we have God within us. Now, again, a lot of us, yes, are mentally assent to that. Yes, God is within me. But there is a capacity beyond our own human ability that we can love and we can consistently love in the face of severe provocation, in the face of whatever. Jesus, just imagine what happened to Jesus when he's on the cross, how he was insulted, how he was abused, all of the things, people spitting at him, all of those things. Yet Jesus loved, and he loved consistency. And if we know that the Lord is within us, he gives us an ability to love beyond our own human ability, beyond our own human capacity. And we want to grow in that. And the starting point is to know that God is within us. We have the love of God within us. And that's where our eyes and our thoughts have to be. If our eyes are upon ourselves and our eyes are on other people, then we're going to find it difficult sometimes to love. Not everyone is lovable and not everyone is easy to love. I'm sure we've all met with that. You know, you had a boss that was, man, just went along and shot everybody continuously. You may remember that boss. Maybe you worked for that boss. Maybe you had the teacher that loved using that ruler and just seemed to get great pleasure in applying that ruler anywhere and everywhere. These days I don't get around with it, but I remember one teacher that, man, he just, the power of the ruler, and he'd whack people on the back of the head at a whim. And we've all met people that are really difficult, hard to work with, hard to get along with. And yet there's this thing that we're always to love and always be loving. How do we do that? How are you loving towards someone? Jesus says in the scripture about turning the other cheek. Well, sometimes we rather than turning the other cheek, the temptation is to give some cheek. And yet Jesus said to turn out. How do we do that? And as I said, the starting point is to really know that we have God within our heart and our life. And we don't lower ourselves. We don't live down into a human level. We are spirit-led people, as we've been, Pastor Hans shared so powerfully with us over the conference and over last weekend, that there's this life in the spirit that we have, which gives us the ability to love even when we don't feel like loving. Because there are times in life you're not going to feel like loving. The times you don't actually feel very loving. But that's not an excuse not to show love, even when you don't feel like it. Because love is a decision. It is a choice to love. And once you make that decision to love, I'm going to love even though I don't feel like being loving, what happens is the love of God will then kick in. And once the love of God is kicked into your life and the love of God is throwing through your life, you find that your own human love then begins to tail end on that, and then you can love even when you feel that you can't love. The scripture says four things, and I'm not going to look at all of them here. Some will look at Digger's Rest this afternoon, but it talks about four things, or four alwayses, and I want to look at this. It's the first thing it says about love. So it says many things about being patient and kind and not envy, not boasting, not proud, not dishonoring others, not selfish, not angered easily, not keep holding grudges or keeping record of wrongs. It says all of those things. But one of the things it says it always protects. Now, if I'm going to be loving, then part of being loving is that I always protect. That part of my job and part of your job in loving other people is to always protect. Now, how do you always protect other people? And this is towards other people, because I'm loving other people. It's easy to love God. I find it very easy to love God. Isn't God easy to love? It's not always easy, so easy with others, but we to love them and to love with a sincere love, not a fake love, but a real, genuine love. So how do I always protect? Well, first thing I've got to remember is that God always protects me, for a start. To know that, hang on, God is my shield. God is my defender. God is my advocate. That God is the one that shields me, that God protects me. And once you have an understanding that, hang on, I actually have a security, I have a protection in God, then I have an ability, I have a capacity, then I can have this love that protects other people. And there's a wonderful promise in Psalm 40:11. It says, your love and your faithfulness always protect me. God's love is constantly there. His faithfulness is there. His love is constantly loving you and he's constantly protecting you. And so once you know that, again, and that's where it starts, everything starts with the Lord. And we know that, but we don't always go there. But when we start there with the Lord, hang on, Lord, your love is always faithful to me. Lord, you're always protecting me. And if I come from that mindset, then I can approach this challenge that the Lord gives me to always protect others. So what does it look like for me to always, so it's in many ways, but all the time, to be protective of other people? How do I do it? Now, it doesn't mean that I'm walking around saying, well, watch your step, you know, be careful of the step and whatever. And we're very grateful to Graham and Josie making sure that we're safe, the children are safe, all of those things. But it means more than just physically making sure that people aren't tripping over cords and whatever else. And it means far more than that. It's protecting. So how do I do that? How am I protective of others? If the scripture requires of us to be loving, and I want to learn in that, and I want to grow in that, and I want to have the Lord's heart in that, well, one of the first things I have to do to protect others is I guard my mouth and I guard my heart. Really important. Two things that we need to guard. We need to guard our mouth and we guard our heart. Titus 3:2, it says this: to slander no one, be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone. And see, our words, we protect people with our words, or we bring people down with our words. Scripture says about not slandering anyone. Slander is just anything that we say that brings somebody down or attacks somebody in any way. Any negative stuff that you say about anyone, that's slander. Scripture says slander no one. If you speak ill of anybody in any circumstances, you're actually bringing them down and you're talking ill of people. It's slander. And that's the scripture says, don't do that. Slander no one. You've got to be careful about what we say, about the words that come out of our mouth. Remember, the scripture says we give an account for every word that comes out of our mouth. So we've got to be very careful about slandering no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. Always gentle towards everyone. And if you can have that in your mind, I'm going to watch my mouth and watch my heart, and I'm always going to be gentle towards people. Then you go a long way to protecting them, because you can damage someone's reputation by the words that come out of your mouth. And that's not protecting them. But if your words are loving and they're gentle and considerate, you're actually protecting them by watching what comes out of our mouth. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. And you put a blanket of love over a circumstance, put a blanket of love over a situation, rather than speaking against that circumstance or against that person, the scripture says love covers over. And that's a way of protecting, that you do that. We're not dwelling on things, but I'm just going to put a blanket of love over that situation. I'm just going to put a blanket of love on that hurt. I'm going to put a blanket of love on that disappointment. I'm going to put a blanket of love over that. And so that's one way that we protect others, is by guarding our mouth, that we don't say negative things, slanderous things, hurtful things, but we're always gentle toward everyone. Another thing that I can do to protect people is to pray for them. And it's so important that we pray for one another. So important for one another, that we pray for one another. And I trust that you pray for one another. If you have a strain in any relationship, I think I would assume, and I trust and I pray, the first thing that you do is that you pray. Before you have a negative thought against them, before you say everything to other people or you put them down or whatever, in your heart or with your mouth, whatever way, is that you pray for them. And it's a prayer that says, Lord, I just pray that you love them and bless them. It's not the prayer that says, Lord, change their attitude, change their stubborn heart, change their pig-headedness, Lord, change their this, change them that, Lord, make them this, make them that. That's not a loving prayer. That's a condemning, judgmental prayer. Satan will applaud that. I don't think the Lord will listen to that. But the kind of prayer that says, Lord, I don't understand everything that they're going through, Lord, But I just see that they're hurting in this situation. Lord, I pray that you just pour your love upon them right now, Lord, right where they're hurting, Lord, at that deepest place, Lord. That, Lord, I don't understand all of the things, and I don't understand all the dynamics that are happening here. And so who am I to stand there and make any judgment of them? But, Lord, I just pray that you just love them right now. Lord, wherever they're hurting, whatever their circumstances is, Lord, just pour your love upon them right where they are now. And as you pray in such a way, you're actually protecting them, you're enfolding them with the love of God, and you're actually doing something that is very powerful and profound when you pray. Apostle Paul did it all the time. He said in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in my prayers." Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Always, always, not occasionally, not every now and again, always, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So important that you're praying for one another. So important that we pray for one another. And Philemon 1:4, it says, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers." Pray for them. Pray for people. Sincerely pray and say, "Lord, I don't understand what they're going through and the circumstances, this hurt, this reaction, whatever it is, but Lord, I'm just going to pray that you love them. Lord, I'm not even asking you to change them, Lord. Who am I to say how they need to change?" Quite often it's we're the one who has to change anyway, and we're praying for them to change. We don't go there. We say, "Lord, just pour your love upon them. You know their circumstances. You know what they're going through. Lord, I don't understand, but Lord, you understand. And I just pray, Lord, that you just love them, Lord. They just sense that healing touch, the love of your presence at such a time." That's the heart of protecting. That's a part of always protecting, is having a heart in circumstances. And even for that boss, the maniac boss, and I did have a maniac boss once, but just to pray for him, not to go around and say to the other, "Gee, this guy's a total maniac." No, don't do that. Didn't do that. I just pray for him. "Lord, I don't know what it is. You know, he'd gone through a painful divorce and a whole lot of circumstances and a whole lot of stuff in his life, a lot of baggage that he was carrying and just reacting out of a whole lot of baggage." So I remember just praying for him. And it's so important that we do that. Pray for people. Protect them. Don't expose them. Pray for them and allow the love of God just to touch their heart and life. And don't be changing, praying. The only person that you should be praying that someone changes is you. Never pray for someone else to change. You pray that you change. If they're an unbeliever, then you pray, "Lord, yes, Lord, well, let them turn their heart around. Let them repent. Let them change." Pray for unbelievers. But for a believer, never pray that they would change their heart. Just pray. You pray you change your heart. Maybe your heart's the problem. Maybe my heart's the problem. Maybe that's what I should be praying rather than, and pray in such a way. That's a powerful way to pray. That's a loving and a protecting way to pray. And the other way that we can protect people is that we can sometimes have to take the fall for them. And by that means is that in the circumstances, and you may be the innocent party, and you may not even be the one to blame, but you're going to take responsibility. You take the fall in that situation. And that's certainly what Jesus did for every one of us. We know that we were estranged from God. We were separated from God because of our own hard-heartedness, because of our own sin, that we were far away from God. And yet Jesus, he came to this earth and he took the fall for us. He died in our place for our sin. It was a bum rap. It was an unfair deal. He didn't deserve that. Jesus didn't deserve to die on the cross for your sin or for my sin. And yet he did that. And sometimes in protecting others that we take the rap. We take it. Even if we don't deserve it, even we will take it. And we take it because it's a part of loving and it's a part of protecting. It says in John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this." And if you've got, hopefully you've got your bookmark with the scriptures. If you didn't get one, weren't given by the stewards, make sure you get one because there's a lot of scriptures today. John 15:13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends." What to lay your life down. And sometimes it means that you take the rap. Sometimes you say sorry when you're the innocent one. But you value the relationship and that's important to you. And so you'll say sorry even if you feel you've done nothing wrong. Sometimes we can be too proud or stubborn to do that. But sometimes if you're going to love always and you're going to protect that relationship, then sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes we take the fall. We take it. We apologize when we've done nothing wrong. And that's a part of protecting relationship. That's about always. Say, "Hang on, but it's not fair. I didn't do that." Always. Yeah, but always. Always. And if you can get that mindset in your relationship, it'll affect your marriage, affect the relationship with your children, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and even with the crazy boss. if you're consistent and you're loving in that way, it makes such a difference. It's so powerful. And sometimes you have to cover that. There's many times where people have failed or they've let down in a situation, they haven't done it, and I've covered for them. And we say that, oh, you know, I've covered for someone. And that's so important that we do. We cover for one another. We're not there shining a light and exposing each other's weaknesses and failure. We cover for one another. That's what love does. Love covers. I'm not saying that there's gross sin and we just pretend it's not there. If there's sin and then we lovingly deal with it and we lovingly confront it. But that's the heart of love. It is a protecting thing. And to me, it's really a part of that spirit life that we have, that sense of faithfulness. To be faithful in our relationships, to always be protecting, always having that heart. Another aspect that's really important in this always is that this always trusting. Now, how do I always trust? Because we live in a very cynical world. This is a very cynical world. This is a world that always expects the person's out to get me. And in the world, a lot of time they are. You get those lovely little emails where you've won all this money, or you send in your banking details. Just confirm your banking. Well, that's a scammer, and they're there and they're trying to get you. We know those things. This is a very cynical world that we live in, and people are not trusting in this world. You know, look, you go knock on, just pick a random house and go knock on the door. The odds are, even if the people are home these days, people aren't even going to come to their door these days. People live in fear and they're not trusting. And yet we are called. Is if we're going to be loving, and as part of that, yeah, it's the nature of God and it's God within our hearts, we're always going to trust. How can we do that? How do we actually do that? What does it look like? Now, I'm not talking about being naive and cynical and saying, you know, every time you get some scamming email that you think, oh, it must be real. I'm not talking about being naive, but I'm talking about being wise, but also having a heart of trusting others. And that's a part of loving. Always trusting. Are you always trusting of your brothers and sisters? Are you always trusting in your family relationships? How do we do that? What actually does that look like? Well, again, how can I do that? First of all, I've got to understand that God trusts me. I can trust God. I can trust God completely and implicitly. In every situation, with everything that I go through, I'm trusting God in. Sometimes you've got nothing else. You look behind you and there's no one or nothing else there. But there is always something. There's the trust of God. There's the faithfulness of God. He's always there. He always backs us up. No one else will back you up. God will back you up. He's always there. I can trust him. But also, he trusts you. He puts an incredible trust in you. He's got all of these people who are living lives like living zombies. They have life, but they don't have life. They don't know the love of Jesus Christ. There's one fate alone that is theirs for anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. And yet somehow he trusted you, and he trusted me, and he says, I trust you to reach out to them and save them from that fate. I trust you with that. I trust you. What an incredible trust. I can trust God, and God trusts me. And another way I can be trusting, Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide you always. And I trust in that. Lord, there's our own human wisdom. I don't always trust my own wisdom because I don't always get it right. I know I'm not perfect. I know I've never met a perfect one who always gets it right. But I know God gets it right. And if I listen to the Lord and I listen to his leading, the Lord says, I will guide you always. And so there's a fundamental confidence that if you know that you can trust God, and if you know that God trusts you, then that's a great platform to begin to be able to trust others. Because you know what God trusts you. You know what you're like. You know what you're like. You know what you're really like. And yet God, who knows what you're really like, he still really trusts you with the most important thing that's on his heart, and that's to see people come into a relationship with him. He really trusts you. And yet we don't always trust others. We can make it hard. And so one of the ways that I can do that, that I can always be trusting, is to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I always try to do that. I don't always succeed, but I try to always give people the benefit of the doubt. And I don't assume, well, it's because of a negative thing. I try to always give them the benefit of the doubt. As I said, I don't always succeed in all of these things. I'm not standing before you telling you that I'm a super giant that does all these things all the time. I'm growing like we all are. But in my mind and my attitude and my heart is, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe other people wouldn't. I'd jump on you straight away, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And part of always trusting someone is you give them the benefit of the doubt. And I trust and believe, and I hope is that today that you're going to grab a hold of that mindset and say, I'm going to be one who always gives people the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Even if that doubt is very small, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And if you're able to do that, to give people the benefit of the doubt, you'll find your ability to love them and to trust always is greatly multiplied. Give them the benefit of the doubt. So important that we can do that in our relationships. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't make a whole lot of bunch of assumptions. So easy to make assumptions. So many things stand or fall on wrong assumptions that people have made. Relationships that are blown apart based on wrong assumptions. Always give the benefit of the doubt. And the second thing that I can always trust others is not to judge their motives. So important that we don't do that. As Christians, we cannot do that. You cannot be judging other people's motives. Oh, they're doing that because of that. Or they're doing this because of that. We have no right at all. How dare we judge other people's motives? We don't have the right to do that. None of us have the right to judge other people's motives. Why they're doing something. By motive, I mean, why are they doing what they do? Why didn't they do what they were supposed to do? So easy to judge people's motives. But the scripture, man, Jesus comes down like a ton of bricks on having a heart that judges others. He says very clearly, he was always against the Pharisees and that, because they're standing in judgment of everyone else, thinking they're holier and greater than everyone else and putting other people down. Man, he hang it on them. He was not impressed with a judgmental kind of heart. And so the scripture says, it says, Romans 14:10, it says, "You then, why do you judge your brother and sister?" Paul's writing this to the book of Romans. Why you do that? We don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right. I don't have the right to judge your motives, to judge your intentions. It's wrong to do that. Completely, blanketly wrong. And you won't trust people if you're trying to judge their motives. If you're always trying to suss out, or why they did that or why they didn't do that, you're not going to trust anyone. In fact, everyone that comes will be not good enough, and everybody will seem won't be trusted, not worthy of your trust. Because you've already prejudiced them, you prejudged them. You've already made up your own mind because you've judged them and you've judged their motive. We don't have the right to judge people's hearts in that way. And we're not going to trust. You're not going to be a trusting person if you're judging everyone and their motives. But if I'm always going to be trusting, I've got to give you the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to be so careful not to judge your motives because I don't have the right to do that. And the other thing is to take a risk with people. By taking a risk with people, I mean, assume the best. Always assume the best. If there's something happens or if there's a circumstance, assume the best. Don't assume the worst. Always assume the best. If I'm assuming the worst, I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to trust anyone. But if I'm always going to trust, then I'm going to assume the best. Make that our mindset. I'm going to give everyone a break. Because I tell you what, I need a break. Do you need a break? Do you praise that God doesn't look at you and judge you according to what you deserve? Amen? You're not saying amen. You need to say amen. 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 We need a big loud amen. And yet somehow we do that. Yet what God doesn't even do to us, we so freely and easily do to other people. We've got to watch that heart. Let us give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't judge their motives. Assume the best. Always assume the best. So important that we do it. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's about being a spiritual being. We're not carnal people. We're not worldly people. We don't behave like the world does. We don't respond and react like the world does. We're Spirit-led people. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And part of the fruit of the Spirit is that heart of kindness and the fruit of goodness to come out of our heart. The fruit of Spirit of goodness means that, yeah, there's a goodness about you, but you're looking and finding the goodness in others. And yeah, that's your mindset. That's your heart, heart of kindness. Kindness is giving when it costs you, but you're still going to give anyway. It hurts you, but you're still going to do it anyway, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the love of God coming out of our heart. And the final thing, I look at perseverance this afternoon, but this morning, about how do I always have hope and give hope? How do I always do that? How am I always going to have hope? How do I always have hope? Because sometimes I look at situations and, man, it looks like it's hopeless to me. Sometimes I just feel, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can handle that. How do I get a hold of it? How do I always have hope? And maybe there's others around you and they don't have any hope. And yet somehow God calls you as the son and the daughter of the living God, who's full of the love of God and has his Spirit dwelling with him, to be the one that not only has hope, but you are to be the provider of hope. How do we do that? Because it's not always easy. We live in a hopeless world. The world doesn't have hope. The world won't give you hope. And yet we're supposed to stand as that light and that beacon and be the one that gives hope. How do I always give hope? Well, first of all, I've always got to remember that God's always working. God does not stop working. God is always working, and his work is good. Let's say that together. God is always working, and his work is good. Now, if I could somehow staple that to your brain, I would do that. If I could chisel it to your heart, I would love to do that. Because sometimes we forget that God is always working, and his work is always good. Some of us despair over relationships. Maybe there's children that have walked away from the Lord. And I can't imagine the pain of that. And my heart goes out to people in that kind of a situation. That'd be unimaginable. I can't imagine how hard that is for people. But there's always hope there. Because God is working ways you don't even see or understand. God hasn't given up. God is always working, and God's work is always good. He is a great God, a loving God, and he never stops working for us. It says in John 5:17, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I'm working too, says Jesus. Father's always working. Jesus says, I'm working too. And so I have a lot of hope is born from the fact that I know, hang on, God's working here. So we can make the mistake of judging with our own eyes and our own experience and looking with our own eyes and our own heart, and we make an assessment. And if we live that way, then we're not living with faith, but then we get to that, look, let's give up and go home. You just give up if you always lived your life looking with what you see with your eyes. But if you forget that God's working, then you'll live like that and you'll become downhearted, you'll become discouraged. Remember that God is always working and his ways are always good. Amen. Bless you, sister, who believes that. Amen. It says in Psalm 26, and this is a real key for us, he says, for I am always, and David is writing this psalm, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love. Always, always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. Always mindful of your unfailing love, and I've lived in reliance of your faithfulness. Wow. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that? Well, I trust that you can, and I pray that you'll grow into that, that we'll grow into that. I'm always mindful of that. Hang on, God, you're working. I don't see it, but Lord, I'm mindful that you're doing the unseen. You're touching the heart of the estranged child, Lord. You're healing the relationship that's been broken. Lord, I don't actually see with my own eyes, Lord, but I'm trusting in you, Lord. And my heart is there. I know that's your will. I know it's your heart, Lord, and you're working in ways that are unseen. I'm always mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. Live in reliance on his faithfulness. Live in reliance on his faithfulness. If you live in reliance of his faithfulness, you will never be downcast and despair. Now, we have tough days. We have tough weeks. We have tough times. And I just, as much as anyone else, knows that. But we'll always have to remind myself, hang on, God's working here, and God is a faithful God, and I'm mindful of that, and I'm relying on his faithfulness. Not other people's faithfulness, I'm relying on his faithfulness. And how do I always have hope? Well, one of the things is I always look for the good. I'm looking for the good. And where's Lewis this morning? Lewis gives away. I'm so excited with Lewis, because he is one man that I've met that always looks for the good. I just really honor that in you, that faithful heart where you're always looking for the good in every situation, every circumstance. And that's such a real encouragement to me, because sometimes I've seen things like, hang on, I'm thinking, hang on, there's got to be some good here somewhere. Lewis finds the good. Oh, thank you, Lord. I knew there was some good somewhere. I knew there was something good in this. Didn't look all good, but there was some good there, and the ability to find the good in the situation. Look for the good. Because sometimes we look at something and we see a little bit of bent oar, and all we can see then is the bad, and yet we're surrounded by a whole lot of good. Look for the good, and then you will always have hope if you look for the good. And not only that, you'll be one who creates hope in other people. Philippians 1:8, the last part of it says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what you've got to think about. Think about the good. Look for the good and think about the good. Celebrate the good. Don't throw your arms up in despair of everything that goes wrong, saying, well, hang on, no, I'm going to look for the good because I want to have hope and I'm going to be hopeful in this situation, so I'm going to look for the good. So important that we do that. And whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent, we're thinking about those things. So look for the good. Other thing is rejoicing in the Lord. Sometimes there's circumstances and you think, man, there's not a lot of joy in this. And I tell you what, there are things that happen in life that naturally and humanly, you don't feel like doing a cartwheel or jumping up and down and going, yay. There's things that happen to us in life. There's not a lot of joy in the thing that happened. For the scripture tells us to find joy in the Lord. Because if you live your life looking to find joy in experiences and other things out in life, you can jump off every bungee jump thing, you can jump parasail, you can do all the things, become the greatest thrill seeker and still always be chasing that next high and getting that and never finding it. We've got to find there's something in the Lord. We rejoice always, the scripture says, always rejoice, even when you don't feel like it. Well, that's hard. It is hard. It's very hard to be joyful when you don't feel like being joyful. You feel miserable, but it says to always rejoice. But then it tells us, it says, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. So it's in the Lord. We've got to find it in the Lord. We're not going to find it in other people sometimes. People can be a great comfort and great support, but sometimes they're not there for us. And we've got to find it in the Lord. We've got to rejoice in the Lord. We find it in the Lord. We know the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we've got to find it in the Lord. If you're not finding it in the Lord, you're not going to find it. And so we've got to find it. That's how I can always have hope. Looking for the good, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And how can I be one that gives hope? Because the whole scripture that we read is about loving and showing love to others. How do I give you hope? How do I encourage you in hope? Well, then, simple. I just have to be an encourager. Be an encourager. Are you an encourager? If it's on your gravestone, are they going to put it there and they'll say, and here lies your name, they were an encourager. Well, become one. If you're not an encourager, become an encourager. Become an encourager. That's how you give hope to people. You create courage in them. You empower them with courage in their heart when you encourage them. You place courage in the midst of despair when you encourage someone. When you get alongside them and you encourage them. Don't go to them and say, I want to encourage you, because all they say is, well, go ahead, please do it. Actually, encourage them. Find something to encourage them. Make it a tangible expression. I'm encouraged. Look, I really honor this about you. I really appreciate this about you. And speak words of life. And that's how we can do that. We encourage one another. 1 Philippians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up. You can be a purveyor of hope. Are you a purveyor of hope? When people know you, when they meet you, do they feel empowered and encouraged and hopeful? Or do they feel, oh my gosh, choose this day that you're going to be an encourager. And that's a way that you can always have hope and always give hope. Final two scriptures, as I said, I want to look at always persevering. How do you always persevere when other people give up, when other people don't? How do you always keep going when other people don't keep going? What's the secret to that? Well, we'll talk about that this afternoon. But finally, it says, Apostle Paul says, we are always confident. Paul was able to say that we're always confident because the heart of knowing the Lord and eyes focus on the Lord. And I love the psalmist, Psalm 71:14. It says, as for me, I will always have hope. What a decision, what a choice. As for me, I will always have hope. And I encourage you this morning, you make the decision, as for me, I will always have hope, because I am mindful that my God is working even when I don't see it. I'm mindful that my God, when he is working, is a good God and a faithful God, and he is doing a good thing. And therefore, I'm going to look for the good in every situation. I'm going to look for the good in the circumstances. I'm going to find my joy in the Lord, because I'm not going to find it in anyone and anything else. I'm going to find it in the Lord, and I'm going to be an encourager. So my prayer this morning is that this always factor, that we'll grab a hold of what God really has in our life. Because this is how you live. This is not a Sunday sermon. This is life. To every one of us every day, if we grab a hold of it. This is life-changing stuff. Changes every relationship that we have. And I trust that you'll get a hold of this and you'll listen and you'll read those scriptures and you'll get them within your heart, that you will know and rely on the love God has for us. That you can protect others by guarding your mouth and guarding your heart attitude. That you pray for people, Don't pray, Lord, change their heart. No, you say, Lord, just love them. Lord, they obviously got hurt there and circumstances, I don't know. Lord, just bucket them with your love, Lord. Just pour your love upon them, surround them, nurture them. Just love them, not to death, but love them completely, Lord. Just love them and pray for them in that. To take the fall for people, sometimes you have to do that. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't assume the bad. Always give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't judge people's motives. You've got no right to do that. And don't ever sit in judgment of other people's motives. And assume, as I said, that the best. Remember God's working. Look for the good. Rejoice in the Lord and to be an encourager. And allow God's life. And with all my heart, as I said, I wish I could get this into all our hearts and just plant it there. I pray that by God, by His Spirit, you'll grab a hold of this. You need to listen to this again. You need to go over this because this is life, what we're talking about. Let's just stand and pray. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, these are not my words. Lord, this is your word. And Father, if we actually grab a hold of this, Lord, if we learn to live like this, Lord, this is revolutionary. This is life-changing, Lord. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you just speak this into our hearts, Lord. Lord, that we won't go home, Lord, and just switch on the TV and switch off, Father. But, Lord, that we would just allow you to speak into our hearts, Lord. Father, because we're just people. And without you, Lord, we're lost. But, Lord, with you, Lord, that we want to grow into what you made us to be. But, Lord, to be loving always. Lord, always, Lord. We want to be always. Lord, we don't want to be ones who make excuses, Lord. We always want to make that choice. And so, Father, I pray as we stand here, Lord, that there'll be some determination this day, some decisions that we will make this day, Lord, to love and to be loving, Lord, to forgive and be forgiving, all of the things, Lord, that we need to make those choices, Lord, and not just do it in our own human strength, but, Lord, to know that you love us, Lord, know that you never fail us, Lord, know that, Lord, that you're always working, Father, that you're always with us, always there, and therefore that we can always love. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, just teach us, Lord. Father, for those that are struggling in areas of relationship, Lord, I pray, Lord, they'll be able to apply these things, Father. Lord, those that are struggling in any way, Father, that they'll be able to apply these things. Lord, we'll grab a hold of these things. And, Lord, that you'll just continue to speak into our hearts in Jesus' name. I'd love to pray with you. Want prayer this morning? Never committed your life to Christ. We'd love to pray with you that you come into his kingdom this day. But let's just sing this together. As we pray now in Jesus' name, let's sing. And if you want prayer, just come make your way. I'd love to pray with you here. Thank you.